Father God, thank you for this time. And Lord, I thank you so much for what you've been pouring into me, into this vessel for some time now. And Lord, I pray that I'll be able to pour out to the people here some of what you've been giving to me, Lord. And I pray that you put the coal to my lips not to speak what is not of you, Father, and that you guard the people's ears to hear what you would have them to hear, their hearts to sense what you want to impart to the people, Lord, and just cast away whatever is not necessary. Lord, thank you. And I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, here is your vessel, and just looking forward to this. Thank you for this journey. Amen. There, we're ready. We're ready. Okay. So, a hymn and a devotion. Actually, I'm going to read almost everything because that would keep me more not nervous, right? So, but I'm going to start by saying, God takes... Oh, that I forgot to change that one. Oh, well. I wanted it to start with, my life has been like a puzzle, so many pieces seemingly disconnected. And this year, God has been giving me glimpses of the picture he has been working on all along. And then God takes care of me. And that's kind of a phrase I use all the time because he is forever taking good care of me. Many times this week I could even tell you about. Okay, so it starts with, everything I want to say starts with being able to work with Betty on her testimony. That was about in March that I got to do that with her. I love doing it with her, and she's such an inspiration, and just watching how she was able to bless so many people by what she wrote, and she encouraged me that I thought, well, gee, I'd like to write. I've been thinking about writing. Tomo and I had been kind of talking about maybe doing a devotional. I'd been going through a devotion pretty good for about 4 years or so. So I thought, yeah, that might be a good thing to do. But then we need some sort of a structure for doing a devotional, and came up with the hymns. I love the old hymns and thought that would give some sort of a structure for us. So that's where we kind of focused it. And then last week I told Pete that, it's what I just said, that it's been a long time since I've talked to adults. And Pete said, and I told him I was going to quote him, just treat us like kids. I love that because I have a teacher's heart. I want to teach so badly. And that just really worked for me. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, since I'm talking about hymns, what is a hymn? Do you have any idea what a definition of a hymn is? Am I too loud?
No, I just got to pull your podium forward.
Oh, I'm going to go forward. Is that good?
Try it.
Okay. I'm good. I'm cool. Whatever. Okay. Any suggestions what a hymn is? Ah, okay. We all know it, but we don't know what a hymn is, huh?
A song about the truth of God.
What did you say, Betty?
A song about the truth of God.
Great. We got a song. We've got the truth of God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you want to say something? By a believer. Okay, I like that. This is Augustus? Yeah, Augustine, St. Augustine in 400. He defined a hymn as containing, oh, I can't read it.
Three
things, a song and praise and that of God. So praise then of God in song is called a hymn. Okay, that's how he defined it. Next question is, why was I interested in hymns? This is why.
Same reason you were interested in hers.
The same reason we're interested in hers. Well, that wasn't really my reason, Doug. I love this quote from Plato, and other people have quoted it as well. Let me write the songs of a nation, and I care not who writes its laws. And I think we're so blessed here at this church to have great hymn writers. And they're doing something for us. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the story behind a hymn, and then I'm going to ask you to guess the hymn. Okay? So here we go. Now I start reading. Inspired by a simple prayer of an elderly woman at a prayer meeting, this hymn is the result of the cry of Adelaide A. Pollard's heart in the midst of a crisis of soul. Pollard, a devout woman, had a lifelong dream to become a missionary to Africa. Oops, I was supposed to put it here. There. However, in 1902, her hopes were dashed when she was unable to raise the funds necessary for the journey. In deep distress, 40-year-old Pollard attended a prayer meeting where she heard an elderly woman petition God, "Lord, it doesn't matter what you do with us. Just have your own way with our lives." Inspired by these words, she returned home that evening to ponder the passage in Jeremiah 18 about this visit, about his visit to the potter's house. Prayerfully allowing these words to sink into the depth of her soul, she penned all four stanzas of this hymn that night. When her plan to be a missionary to Africa failed, Pollard turned to teaching and writing. During her years as an educator, she developed a reputation as an outstanding Bible study teacher. In time, she became an evangelist and itinerant Bible study teacher. Those who knew her well considered her to be somehow remote from human comprehension, one to whom God had revealed a supernatural way of life. Just before World War I broke out, she did sail to Africa. Unfortunately, she met with disappointment once again when the war forced her to retreat to Scotland. After the war, she returned to the United States, where she resumed her preaching ministry in New England. Allowing God to be the potter in her life of clay redirected the course of her life from missionary to teacher, preacher, and writer of prose and poetry. Had she not allowed God to have his way with her, we would not have this hymn today challenging us to yield our lives to the master potter. Any idea what hymn this might be? Very good, Betty. You got it. That's right. Have thine own way. Now, as I said at the beginning, God takes good care of me, and we've got a great band here, and I'm going to ask the band to please come up and play the hymn for those who don't know it, and even for those who do. It's just such a beautiful hymn. I love it.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and stay. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow, humbly I bow. Have thine own way. We Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Filled with thy Spirit, here all can see Christ only always living in me, living in me, living in me.
Thank you so much. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we are so blessed. Well, Tomo and I got to go over to Ron and Doreen's house to participate in band practice, and I heard all kinds of words I've never heard before. It was just so wonderful. And these people didn't even know the hymn. I don't think anybody knew. Or
never heard it.
Yeah. See, and they were able to put it together. Like this. I mean, that's a miracle, as far as I'm concerned. And God is so good, you guys. He's so good to me. And speaking of him being good to me, you are about to get schooled. So, my mom got me this cup knowing that I always want to be a teacher. Okay? That's just me. And it says, you're about to get schooled. So, that's what's going to happen this morning. Here's how we're going to do it. First of all, you've got some clay, a little piece of clay on your table, and some paper. Feel free to use that. You don't have to if you don't want to, but it's there. And I've got some wipey things to clean up afterwards. Because we're talking about the potter and the clay, and you know, if you were at school and treat your kids, obviously you'd need something to keep your hands busy. So you've got that. And I want you to be thinking about the hymn and what we're talking about. God treats us. God told Jeremiah about him through the clay. Okay, I'm talking too long. The next thing is I'm going to give you 5 verses from the hymn. Betty's going to read those, Another Way God Takes Good Care of Me. And she's going to read a scripture that's related to the verse. And then I'm going to read the little devotion that I've written. Okay? And then we're going to do that for 5 verses. And then after that's done, then we're going to watch a potter, who is also a pastor, actually make a piece of pottery on a short video. And do you know him? Do you know him, Betty?
Oh, no, but it's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're going to be able to see it and thinking after everything that's been said and today and you working with the clay with your hands, hopefully you'll be able to get some sense of how God deals with you. Okay, so here we go. Betty, you're up.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Then I went down to the potter's house. And there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make.
Thank you. God shows the prophet a parable of the world's history. God, the great artisan, men and nations, his creation. Jeremiah is instructed to go down to the potter's house, the place he performs his daily tasks, boring, repetitious, uneventful. Yet, this is where God wants to impart his truths to the one willing to listen. Jeremiah sees the potter making something at the wheel. The wheel turns round and round. So do the nations. And so does the individual. Actually, he saw two wheels. One worked with the potter's feet, the other turning the clay responding to the potter's touch. A picture of the earth, God's footstool, and man's life surrounded by God, ordering man's circumstances. Jeremiah may have noticed that the potter's hands work in one direction, while the wheel turns in the opposite direction. Such observation would lead him to understand that when men and nations yield their will to the gentle touch of the master potter's fingers, a vessel is created, a vessel fit for the purpose for which it was intended. He also may have noticed that it was the potter who did the work. The clay had only to respond to his fingers. This vessel had become ruined. Without enough water, the clay may have become hard and brittle, unyielding to the potter as he turned it on the wheel. It may have fallen away from the potter's hands and off the wheel. It may not have been properly centered on the wheel, or it may have been spinning too fast. So it is with us. We become hardened to the Lord's touch, falling away from Him, our lives spinning ever faster until we no longer take time to recenter ourselves on Jesus, unwilling to submit to His gentle touch in our lives. By His grace, when we seek His face, He forgives our sin and heals our land. Whatever the reason, the potter remade the vessel into something that seemed good to him to make. When we yield our marred, broken lives to God, He makes us into something of value as well. Are you allowing the Lord, the master potter, to gently shape you with His gentle touch? Or are you becoming stiff and brittle, in need of being remade? Today is the perfect day to say, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." Betty.
Okay, mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as
this potter?
This potter, says the Lord. Look at as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.
God reveals His purpose in sending Jeremiah to the potter's house. He has power over His creation. As the clay is in the hands of the potter, so is the house of Israel and all mankind in the hands of God. While molding the clay on his wheel, the potter's hands gently apply pressure from inside and outside of the vessel, his eyes focused on the clay. God, too, is applying pressure on men and nations, his eyes wisely fixed on his creation. The potter has a vision for the vessel he is creating, and he chooses the clay that is best fitted for it. A low fire, easily chipped earthenware terracotta clay for a flower pot, a high fire, chip resistant porcelain clay for fine china. God has a vision for each person he creates. He gives each individual a unique heritage and circumstances perfectly fitting them for His purposes. He skillfully and wisely provides just the right amount of firing, trials, and disappointments for each person. Before placing the clay on his wheel, the potter had to prepare it with his hands, kneading and crushing it, making it pliable, removing air bubbles and hard spots. He knows that if he fails to take the time to do this, his vessel will crack or break when placed in the fiery furnace. He then patiently centers the clay on his wheel. So it is with us. When we are not pliable in the Lord's hands and centered on Him, our lives do not conform to His purposes. It takes years of patient handling by the Lord before we are ready for His wheel. When He is centering us, we think we are close enough. We are not. When not centered, we cannot know all that God has for us. Like the clay, we will break when the fire comes. While forming the clay, the potter continuously immerses his hands in water, so the clay will remain soft and pliable. In Scripture, Water represents troublesome times and the Word of God. When He is shaping us, we encounter much pain, internally and externally. We endure by the washing of the water of His Word. Are you allowing the Lord to have His way as you go about your daily life? Are you wanting Him to hurry the process along, not willing to give Him time to crush and remove the pride and other hard spots in your life? Won't you pray to the Lord that He would mold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still? I'm just going to say a quick prayer here. Lord, I just pray that we would allow You to have Your way with us, Father. We would let You crush and remove the pride and the hard parts in our life, Father, that we can become who You want us to become, Father, yielded and still in Your hands. Thank You, Father. Okay. Betty. Wow, that is hard to read.
I can't get the bottom.
Okay, I'll
read
it.
Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray.
Thank you. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? It is as foolish for the broken clay to find fault with the potter as it is for man to argue with his creator. God made man from clay, and he formed man with his hands. Man is merely a potsherd, a broken piece of pottery, weak and fragile, living with others equally so. It is absurd to complain of the way God has made one, the place he has been assigned, or the purposes God has designed for the individual to accomplish. To say that God's work has no hands is to arrogantly condemn the Creator, superior in every way, accusing him to be without wisdom, power, or skill. The potter chooses his clay based on the purpose he has in mind, the equipment he has, and the temperature he will fire it at. God chooses us based on his purposes, who and what he has placed in our life to shape and form us, his equipment, and the degree of fiery trials we are able to withstand. Clay comes with varying amounts of impurities. If it is not removed, the clay will resist the potter's touch, leaving him two options. One, start over, remove the impurities and remold the clay. Or two, if hopelessly marred, it will be thrown out. So it is with us. God uses our circumstances to bring about pain and weariness to our being, removing what is not of him. As we learn to yield to his will, we become useful vessels for his purposes. If we do not yield to him, we find ourselves on the slippery slope that leads to destruction. The history of nations and of mankind is replete with examples of both. Satisfied with his vessel, the potter places it in the fire to increase its durability and to permanently set its shape. Clays with a higher degree of purity require higher temperatures for firing. We, too, must go through the fire to bring us to God's purposes, increasing our strength and permanently setting our faith in him alone. Great faith in God makes us of great value to him. You may be weak and broken potsherds. Are you allowing God to shape you with his gentle fingers, his mighty right hand of righteousness, his hands that stretched out the heavens? Won't you agree with the hymn writer this day and ask God to have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Okay, Betty.
Power, all power. Surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lumps to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?
Man is but a vessel of clay in God's hand, a container to be filled with his loving kindness, a vessel of his mercy. If left untouched, the clay does not change. It will not become valuable. Change requires pain, and pain requires faith, and faith makes the believer valuable to God. Only the potter knows what he is making from the clay. The vessel takes shape as it yields to the potter's hands, smashing, cutting, and trimming it, forming it into the purpose for which it was meant. God shapes man, pressing hard at his most tender spot, his heart, stretching and forming his vessel, his container, to be filled with himself. As God smashes, cuts, trims, and stretches his people, his living pots, faith rises as his vessel yields to him. Hope emerges out of darkness, and love replaces the hardened heart. Once formed, the water must be removed from the clay before going through the fire, permanently setting its shape. The water was essential while forming the container, but now the clay is formed. The water must be removed. Does our analogy break down here? If water represents God's word, surely the Christian should never undergo a season separated from God's word. When we look to Jesus, we recognize that he did endure a season separated from his Father when facing the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's Matthew 27. We, too, must go through a dry season, a time of intense prayer with seemingly no answers, unable to penetrate heaven's doors. We, too, must go to the cross, into the fire, into the darkness, into the abyss, where the pain and suffering seem to be more than we can bear, the night longer than we can imagine. Praise God. The story doesn't end there. Joy comes in the morning. Jesus rose from the grave, and the pot has become a valuable container. Jesus leads the way to heaven. The pot can be used as intended, and the believer is now ready to be filled with God. Are you God's living pot in the drying phase? Are you calling out to him with seemingly no answer? God has absolute power to do what he pleases with the work of his hands. You are his vessel to be filled by him. Today is a perfect day to pray, "Power, all power surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine." And I'd like to say another quick little prayer. And Lord, we do ask you to be able to do as you please in our lives, Father, that you do have all the power. Father, make us who you want us to be. Shape us and mold us so that we can be a useful vessel to pour out into the lives of others what you've been placing in us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
He'll whip. With thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Can you read that or not? Okay. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. God has formed the people of Israel with his hands, yet they have become unclean. A moral leprosy is upon them, and God has hidden his face from them, consuming them because of their iniquities. Certainly, God will not forsake his own hands, while the work of his own hands. While his eyes and hands are always on the vessel in the shaping process, it must be set aside to dry and heated in the fire before it can be all that it was created to be. Now it has been made, it has been fired, it has been found to be with cracks. Unless for the purpose for which it was intended, useless for the purpose in which it was intended, it must be shattered and thrown out. God can and does cast away those who prove unfaithful to his election and raise others in their place. What do we do when our nation has fallen off the master potter's wheel? When we see shattered people and places all around us, let this be a reminder that we are to remain centered on his wheel, pliable in his hands, resting in his all-knowing wisdom when we go through dry seasons and blazing fires. Through it all, we learn to trust in Jesus as he conforms our will to his will, our purposes to his purposes. The finer the vessel, the thinner the walls, the higher the heat, and the more intense the refining. As the Apostle John puts it, "He must increase, but I must decrease." We are valuable to God when we endeavor to be the best container we can be individually, in our families, in our communities, and in our nation. Whether a terracotta flower pot for flowers or a bone china cup for the king's table, let his mark of ownership be seen in us, in all that we do and say.
Does your soul thirst for God, your flesh long for him in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water? Psalm 63:1.
Does your soul long for purity, for the love of God, sprinkled with the pure water of heaven? Let him fill you that you may give out what he has put in, to think and act out of a sincere love for your master potter, signed with his image. Today is the day to ask him to fill with thy spirit, till all shall see, Christ only always, living in me. Now, if you did make something with that clay, be sure that you sign it on the bottom, you know, because thank goodness God doesn't have to turn us upside down to for people to see that we belong to him. But I think it's kind of neat that all pottery does have, most all of it has signatures, so you know who it belongs to. And we belong to God. So, what kind of vessel is the Master Potter forming in your life? When I look here at Peace Fellowship, I know that we're kind of a mix of all kinds of pottery. I see some that are terracotta pots, which are indispensable to the gardener and useful for so many things. And then we have the China pottery, which is highly refined, tempered in the hottest of fires, and filled with the finest of teas. Some of us are cups, everyday cups, needing lots of washing, getting dirty often, and lots of cleaning. And then some are beautiful, beautiful piece of pottery, beautiful lives that have been broken. And when we've been broken, God has used heaven's gold to mend those painful cracks in your life. Okay. So we're going to end now with the watching the guy make a piece of pottery while the band or Pete, or I'm not sure who's going to sing "Have Thine Own Way" again. And just I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'm done. And that is, I brought some bookmarks. If you would like, I'd really love to give you one. If you don't do devotional, it's really made a big difference in my life the last few years. I love doing a devotional. And it's kind of a neat bookmark, because the idea here with this is, if you've got, probably you have a smartphone, so you take your smartphone, you put it to the camera setting, and then you focus it, because in there is a QR code in that picture of the cross. And then up will come a sampling of the devotions that I said today and some things that I've been writing. So you can always, if you've got your phone and a bookmark, you can always have a devotion. Okay? The camera. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The camera. Yeah, go to the camera setting, and then you just, it's just going to focus in there, and then it's just going to pop up. Okay?
Don't push the button like a camera.
No. It will automatically do it. And if you've got an older phone, you may need to download an app for QR. A QR app is what it's called, Quick Response.
Oh.
And then you're going to see the day's devotion. Okay? And these will be right at the back table, I guess probably by my table where I sat. I'll do that. Okay, so they're going to do this part. Oh, then I guess I am doing the communion too. And I've only written about the cup, so that's all I'm going to talk about for communion. To drink from the cup is to share the fruit that is in the cup. In a traditional Galilean wedding or engagement ceremony, the young man pours wine into his cup, then offers it to his girl. If she accepts, they are engaged or betrothed, devoting themselves to each other, committing to a life together in good times and in bad. Jesus offered his cup to the disciples at the Last Supper. When they drank from it, they were committing their lives to him. When we drink from the Lord's cup in the communion service, we are committing our lives to Him. It is good to remember that for the grape to become wine, it must be crushed and squeezed, a picture of the trials we are agreeing to face with Jesus, partaking of His blessings and mercy in all seasons of life. After dinner, Jesus and the disciples sang the Passover psalms and hymns, including, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 115. And the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's Psalm 118. When Jesus walked on earth, the individual was viewed as a cup to be filled. With this in mind, won't you lift your cup, your life, to Him? Let Him fill you with Himself, that you may pour into others what He is putting into you as you allow the grapes of your life to become new wine infused with hope in Jesus.